The Rancor's Brothel presents.
Now my eyelids are growing weak.
The sense of the sleight of hand man.
Close my eyes and I'm counting sheep.
A Call of Cthulhu Dreamlands campaign.
I fall silent and not a peep.
By Dennis Detweiler.
I descend farther into sleep.
Welcome to the nightmare.
How do I find my way out of here? How do I get back home? How do I learn how to wake myself? And how will I ever know?
Hey everybody, how's it going? Sunny Saturday afternoon.
So far so good.
I'm being recorded. This is great. This is awesome. I cannot tell you fellas, how stoked I am to run this game. I don't know if I've talked to you about it with you, Flynn, but I've been talking about running this game for literally 5 years.
Oh yeah. And that worries me.
Yeah, especially look at the smile on his face right now.
It's been three since we started Brothel D&D, so, yeah.
And my wife was like, oh, she's like, are you nervous to run this game? I was like, not really. She alluded to the fact that I looked like a kid on Christmas. Because it's Christmas morning, bitches, and I've opened up a big old box of Detweiler goodness.
Roll initiative.
We are, you're all dead. Game over.
That's how this game works.
We're running Sense of Sleight of Hand Man, which is a, I believe, 2012 campaign written by Dennis Detweiler. I bought it from him that year, I believe. Should be really, really awesome. So we'll go around, just give for the audience. Don't even worry about a description yet. We'll get to that point. Just, there's a part within the opening of the game where we will introduce our characters, but just say who you are and the name of the character you'll be playing, and we'll start there.
Oh, me?
No.
Oh, So I'm playing Lou Martin. I'm a police detective.
I am playing Louis Durand, a musician.
So that's I am...
No, not at all.
I'm Harmon Flegenheimer, and I'm a baseball player.
I was going to do that.
Nice! Yeah.
All right. So the guys are excited because I've been keeping their characters' secrets from them. So I wanted to give that at least for the audience. Otherwise, we would just start playing. Just for posterity's sake, I want to say, so Gen Con was last weekend, and I actually spoke to Dennis Detweiler. I said, hey, we love your stuff on the show, blah, blah, blah. Your name gets cursed on the podcast all the time. He's like, that's great. And so it's Sunday of Gen Con. He's busy. He's exhausted. You can tell he's barely there. And I said, hey, just so you know, we're going to run Sense of the Sleight of Hand Man next. And he was illustrating something, and he stopped. And he looked up, and his eyes were as big as plates. And he just looked at me and said, I love that game. So it's 5 years later. He's rewrote all of Delta Green. He's doing all kinds of creative stuff. And he still remembers this game as one of his fondest memories. And I actually spoke to him. I'm like, I don't know about my players because they enjoy choices. And he's like, that's what I love about this game. There are a lot of choices, and most of them aren't good or easy. So I appreciate that. That's awesome. That's
feel free
exciting.
To sponsor the show.
Yes, Dennis Detweiler is more than welcome to sponsor the show.
or Delta Green, whichever. All together.
Arc Dream, we love your shit. Anywho, so we're going to start Sense of Sleight of Hand Man, which is Call of Cthulhu campaign. We're not going to talk about it any more than that. Let's just start playing. It's a Tuesday, because things happen on Tuesdays. Nothing happens on Monday. Nothing happens on Friday. Things happen on Tuesdays.
That's true.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Lou. It is a Tuesday evening, not Louis, Lou.
That's going to get confusing, this is, yeah. Guys.
I'm so sorry.
I love it. I love it already. Lou, it is maybe 6:30 or so on a Tuesday evening. It is 1925. We're in New York, since I didn't describe where we are. Height of Prohibition, just came off of winning World War I a few years before. Everything's exciting. Glitz, glam, flapper girls, the whole nine yards. What is Lou doing on a Tuesday evening at about 6:30 in 1925?
Lou probably just got off a shift. He's been working some kind of low-level beats, some traffic work. Some just kind of light patrol work. So probably just got off. Probably going to stop by. Maybe stop by for coffee. The
okay.
end of the day.
So you've stopped at a local coffee establishment near your home, near the near the station,
near my apartment.
Okay. So you sat down for a cup of coffee. It's 6:30. I'm assuming this is not a restaurant. If it's a coffee shop, then it's probably about done for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not a whole lot of traffic. So you're probably one of the few people in the room. Make me. There are rolls to be made.
Ooh.
I've been playing way too much D&D because I'm like, make me a perception roll. That's not what I want.
Spot hidden.
Yeah, sure. Make me spot hidden roll.
I don't see anything.
Okay. You're way too busy.
It's not a good way to start this game. I'm just saying.
You are way too busy. You are way too focused on what's going on. You don't hear the two Packards pull up. You don't pay attention to the fact that the door opens ding, 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 ding several times as people walk in. So Lou, you don't notice until you feel a hand on your shoulder. It is a thick, meaty, sweaty hand. And I'm going to assume you're sitting at, you're sitting on the bar stool, right? Up at the top. Are you in a booth?
Yeah, I'd be in a booth.
Okay.
Yeah.
You feel a hand to your right. Place it on your shoulder.
I'll glance up.
You see a very large Asian man. Very large. 300 pounds. Probably six foot one. Probably only dwarfed by the only other Asian man in the room standing right beside him who is equally big.
All right.
And you
large Asian men? Come on.
So this is a little 1920s. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Come no.
When did sumo wrestling start?
Like 1400.
Someone Google it.
Then fair.
I would imagine.
Just saying, we have two Asian men. They're both large. It's a little.
It is a little unusual. That is correct. They are perhaps the opposite of the tiny Asian man that you recognize. You're pretty sure his name is Singh, and he says. He's like, would you please come with us?
Can I finish my coffee?
Please. And he sits down across from you.
All right, I'll take a sip. Have I met this man before? I recognize him, but...
Yes, you recognize him.
Okay.
You believe that he is a... you've seen him in and around Chinatown, particularly near an establishment known as the Peach Blossom Inn.
Okay.
Or the Peach Blossom Restaurant, excuse me.
So, how you been, Mr. Singh?
He just nods. Looks at the coffee. Please finish. They are waiting for you.
And who are they?
He's like, you have a meeting with Mr. Lau.
Do I remember this meeting?
No, it is not, in fact, on your mind whatsoever. You have, in fact, probably been avoiding Chinatown for the last several weeks.
Ah, well. All right, well, we wouldn't want to keep him waiting, I guess. Anything in particular you want to meet about?
Oh, I think you know.
I don't.
Please.
Okay. Well, I'll finish my coffee and just kind of lean back and just make sure my gun is still at my waist.
Oh, it is.
I'm feeling a little like uncanny right now.
It is. But the large meaty hand has not let go of your shoulder this entire time. And as you look over, you see they are similarly equipped.
Excellent. I'll glance over at the gentleman whose hands. May I get up?
He steps back, like perpendicular to you, and you get the sense that his hand relieves off your shoulder just enough for you to stand.
Thank you, my friend. I'll get up and wait for Singh to lead the way.
After you.
All right. I go out.
And the two toughs walk along behind you. You see two 1921 Packards, incredibly beat up. Looks like they may have been in a firefight once or twice. Bullet holes. They're leading you there. You hear Singh say, "Gentlemen, please help him into the car." At which point, you feel two pairs of rough hands. Quickly, one grabs a hold of you and the other begins to pat you down.
Yep. I'm going to make...
You get the sense these cars are, I should mention, not unoccupied. There are probably two men in the lead car and one driver, one passenger, and then one person driving the rear car that they're trying to put you in.
Okay.
So you're outnumbered at least 5 toughs to 1.
All right. I'm gonna let them pat me down.
Mm-hmm.
And when they feel the gun, I'm going to clap my hand over their hand.
Okay. He is unbuttoning it and removing it from your person.
I can't let you do that.
Oh, please. We insist.
Sir, I am a New York City police officer.
We know. We know who you are.
Do not touch my gun.
He is removing it from you. Would you like to take an action?
I'm holding on to it.
All right. We'll make some strength rolls then. Opposed strength. What is your strength, Lou?
Not great.
Excellent.
He's a
I'm more of
cop.
A charmer.
I will call you the active person.
Okay.
So I will give you the active score.
So remind me how an opposed strength would work.
Basically, they have a wonderful chart that is a resistance table. So I will make you the active. What is your score?
10.
Okay. Mm. So you are a 10.
I got brittle bones.
What is the dogs?
You got about a 40% chance, probably.
I like those odds.
Never tell me the odds. Okay. You have a 10. Make me a roll, Flynn. Just make me a D100 roll. Your odds are not great.
Come on, expensive dice. 25.
You clamp down and you're like, there's no way this guy can take the gun from me. And you feel with 2 fingers, he like pries your fingers open and pulls it away.
Ah, the
strength. He's a if there were mechanics behind this game, you'd assume he had a strength of like, say, 18. Which is the limits of human strength.
It's a very large man.
I suppose I'll let you take it then.
I love it. And they open the door and
I sidle in.
Okay. And the car putters on down the road. Nope, that's you, Flynn. Louis, it is 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night. What are you doing?
Probably setting up for a gig at a local jazz joint.
Is this a legal place or are you at a speakeasy?
Speakeasy sounds fun.
Okay, so you're setting up at the local speakeasy. It's still a little early because they mostly serve booze there. So you're literally warming up, practicing a few notes. You know, guy on the drums, you know, tightening some things up. Boom, boom, boom.
Just doing a run through.
Make me a spot hidden. Or listen, whichever's better for you.
That's a just 20%, right, for crit success?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Okay.
Yeah, 4.
You hear a bit of a squeaking. And you see a door open. You see that there are several Asian men entering the speakeasy. You recognize these Asian men. They look very familiar.
Have they spotted me?
At present, no. You critted. I'm going to say they don't.
I'm going to try to sneak out.
Okay. Roll me a stealth.
Ah, failed.
So Louis is like, hey, guys, I've got to go. Hey, I'm going to go out for a smoke, even though you can smoke in buildings in 1925. Catch you later. So you start heading towards the back door. Just about the time you see them speak to the speakeasy's bartender, who starts to point in your direction. You head towards the back where the bathrooms are, and you see the back door swing open, and you see a couple more Asian men standing there. It's like, going so soon, sir? Yes, yes, you do have a meeting.
I'll just go willingly, yeah.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
So you slide into a car, which is already occupied by another individual. If either of you would like to describe yourselves, you're now sitting beside each other.
So, Lou and Louie get in the car.
Pete and Repeat are sitting on a fence.
So Lou is a short guy, about 5'8", 170 pounds, buzzed head. He's got his hat, his police officer's hat in his lap, the officer's coat kind of unbuttoned. He's fiddling with a Zippo lighter. How's it going?
I haven't decided yet if I was going to use an accent or not.
Now is the time.
Is going okay? Do you know where we're going?
If you're going to use accent, yeah, there you go.
To see Mr. Lau.
Oh, it's not so good.
Yeah, not so good.
Well, I hear 2's a party, 3's a crowd. Harmon, what are you doing about 7-ish on a Tuesday night?
Probably icing down my knee.
Okay.
What time of year is it? Are we in season?
Probably. Okay. Yes, we'll say it's summery.
Okay.
I was going to say, it's baseball. Yes.
Well,
almost.
There is a small stint. Yeah, no, I'm probably in the stadium after a practice icing down a knee.
Sure, that works for me. So you're in Old Yankee Stadium. Make me
the
a
Brooklyn Stadium?
Huh?
The Brooklyn Robins played in the Old Yankee
Stadium? Oh, I didn't realize. What team you play for?
Brooklyn Robins.
Brooklyn Robins?
They were the Robins before they were the Dodgers.
The Dodgers would have played in, was it Ebbets Field?
I can't remember what it was.
I think it was Ebbets Field.
Yes.
That sounds right. Anyway, so you are somewhere icing your knee.
Yeah.
In the clubhouse, as it were. So Harmon, make me a listen roll.
Oh. Listener spot hidden.
Listen.
7 out of 55.
Nice. You hear the squeaking door from the street open, and you hear several heavy clodding footsteps.
Do I immediately know just by the sound of that who these people are?
No, but you do know it'd be kind of unusual. It's you and maybe one or two other people. Like, there shouldn't be like 6 or 7 people coming into the clubhouse this time of evening.
All right.
You probably played a day game and like, you know, occasionally fans would get back in here. But like I said, you're sitting in a locker room somewhere icing your knee. You've got it elevated.
Right. It's unusual, but I shouldn't feel afraid about it.
No. Harmon would not. Lucas might be, but Harmon would not.
Kind of just look over at my teammates. I'm like, you guys hear that?
They kind of nod. You know, shake it off like, whatever. One of them's getting ready to, you know, getting dressed. One of them just got out of the shower. The door to the locker room flies open, and you see two large Asian men step in.
Do I recognize them?
They look vaguely familiar, yes. They look absolutely familiar.
Do I know their names?
You've never been introduced. You're not sure if they speak English.
Fair enough. I immediately look at them. I stand up and say, welcome to the clubhouse, fellas.
You notice a smaller Asian man push his way between the other two. Sick. Mr. Lau would like to speak to you.
Jesus Christ. The fuck am I doing now?
Oh, you know.
Yeah, all right. So I just hobble. I mean, I got a bit of a limp. It's not bad.
Okay. You get walk in. You get shoved into a car where there are already two other individuals waiting.
Holy shit, it's Harmon the Hammer.
Jesus Christ. You got the popo into this now?
So you guys are sitting in the, I believe a Packard had rear-facing seats. I don't know if it did or not. But it's basically the three of you crammed together with maybe one of the tough guys. And then another tough guy is driving and Singh is sitting in the front.
Better make room. This guy's going to eat you.
Yes. Mr. Lau would like to see you for dinner. You are absolutely correct. And they start driving towards Chinatown.
I'm going to rifle through my pockets real quick.
Okay.
You got a scrap of paper. Hey, yeah. You get an autograph?
Yeah, big fan. All right.
Big fan.
I signed an autograph.
Can you, Troy, go ahead and roll me a, where's your, just make me a die roll. Just percentile.
A luck roll?
No, just percentile. Let me know what it is.
56.
Okay. You have no idea why this guy's asking this other guy for an autograph.
Can you believe this? It's Harmon the Hammer.
And this is who?
Harmon the Hammer.
Jesus Christ.
He's just kind of like scratching his beard and like shrugging like, it's all right, man.
You killed it last week. You really did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, oh my God.
This fucking knee needs to get better.
Hey, it's time, right? Stay off of it. Enjoy this lush car ride.
Is what it is.
Backfire sputter, chunk-a-chunk,
Jesus.
Pothole.
It's the backfire cause you to go like jump or something.
Yeah.
We're getting that point where we're definitely going from day to night. The sun is now set down over the buildings. Street lights are starting to come on. You notice a lot of them in this area of Chinatown are sort of busted out. This time you would all know that this area of Manhattan is full of Italian, Chinese, and Polish immigrants. And you see that the car turn onto Delancey Street. Delancey Street is a small, quiet side street. You start to notice, particularly Lou, there are less and less patrolmen the farther you go this way. And in fact, at the entrance to Delancey Street, instead of city cops, you actually see two club-wielding Asian men standing on the street corner.
So what do I know about this area as far as like, so I'm guessing, you know, word gets around, you don't go here, there are rules, right?
Yes, you are moving into, Chinese street gang territory. Particularly in and around the Peach Blossom restaurant, you are moving into, what is controlled by the Tongs.
Okay.
Which, being a local police officer, you'd also know, is ostensibly run by a man named Mr. Lau out of the Peach Blossom restaurant.
All right.
The cars continue. You see a number of similarly tough-looking Asian men standing out and about in front of the Peach Blossom. The Peach Blossom restaurant looks to be a condemned, probably Chinese restaurant. Would have been nice at one point. Lots of gilded, sort of beautiful architecture, nice lines. But there are a couple of hoods outside playing dice. Several of them are wearing guns openly, which I believe at this time in New York was illegal. A couple of them are, like, holding fucking samurai swords.
Like, Jesus.
Like, you're seeing some serious weaponry being openly displayed.
Have I been here before?
Yes, absolutely. The door swings open, the tough step out, and Sink says, "Please, come into the Peach Blossom."
I go.
Lou leads the way.
Follow.
Louis follows.
I step out and I look. Is his name Sing?
Yes, Sing.
I look at him and go, and keep walking.
I'm going to glance back. Who took my gun?
I just said he was playing somebody different.
I mean, he's not running from combat, is he?
Yet.
He's got that bad name.
The hammer doesn't run.
One of the big guys who's sort of in the back is the one who took your gun.
Okay. Do I see it on his person or he's got it tucked
into his waistband, okay. So you can see it.
I'm just going to keep an eye on him.
He sort of sees you eyeing him and just kind of shakes his head and nods, like, keep moving.
I get the feeling that Sing and I know each other kind of well, so.
You could get that feeling.
Yeah.
You hear the sound of scratchy record music. Looks like somebody's got an old phonograph or something that they've cranked up and they're setting outside listening to some music that's basically indecipherable because it sounds so poor. As you step into the Peach Blossom restaurant, you step into the restaurant proper. It is a fairly, what would have been a lavish restaurant at one point. Lots of woodwork, lots of ornate, fake gold gilded things, panels of dragons, blah, 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 blah. Kind of like what you'd expect today, but it was all high end stuff. Lots of red, red sitting pillows and silk hangings. Everything's covered in a fine layer of dust. And as you actually step in, you can see that a couple of chairs and tables have been broken. They're discarded parts just sort of tossed to the side. You're stepping over a couple of puddles of what just sort of terrifyingly look like blood. And you actually see that as you step in, well, if it's a human body, it looks wrong. It's missing an important part above the shoulders. But they seem to be carting a limp body off to the side. You see another man who's got a very sharp sword. He appears to be cleaning blood off of it as he smiles at you. Sing sort of steps in front of you and says, "Please, please, there will be time for that later. We must see Mr. Lau first."
I hope not.
And he walks you through back into the kitchen. The kitchen no longer functions as a kitchen at all. You see a number of older Asian men and women breaking apart poppies. The poppies are being grounded up, mortar and pestle, their seeds being turned into various, forms of opium. In the back, you see that there are several racks, three deep, six or seven crates high, all full of poppies. They're sort of grounding them up, and Sing leads you through with the two toughs behind you. So he's leading the train, walks you over to what would have you had imagined been, just simple placard on the door and just says, "Office." And Sing opens the door and indicates that you should go in front of him to walk through the office door.
I'll go in.
Follow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What you see is an absolutely gorgeous office, totally out of conjunction with everything else that you've seen so far. Whereas everything else in the front was sort of boring, everyday, average stuff. This is really nice. Really nice accoutrements. Sitting in the middle of the room is actually a smoke bowl. A water pipe on top of a table that you could sit at, low pillows. There's a small alcove to the back, that conceals a desk, a chair, some file cabinets. And you can tell here that all the windows, it's lit in here by electrics. You don't see any bit of the sun because all the windows appear to have been bricked over. And standing there is a man you all know as Mr. Lau. Welcome, gentlemen. It is so good to see you all again.
I respectfully do, nobody at home can see this, put your hand sort of in prayer and give a short nod, short bow.
He sort of derisively does it back. Almost, I mean, absolutely in a mocking tone.
You are all very, very late. I assume you understand my turn of phrase. Please, please, I ask that you sit, get to know each other. You will be spending some time together.
And he indicates that you should sit around the water pipe.
I'll take a seat.
Have a seat.
If you will excuse me for a moment, gentlemen, I must prepare something.
And you see him go back into that little alcove where the desk is, and there's a little sort of curtain that he has to push back. And you can see it's a little office area. And he sort of half pulls the curtain, and you see him start to do something.
What the hell is he doing back there? I don't know why he's talking about us being late. They didn't drive. Just trying to finish my coffee. How y'all doing?
Yeah, I've had better days.
Yeah.
They a little scared?
Hey, don't be scared. It's okay. I'm an officer of the law. Don't worry.
That does not comfort me much. No?
Yeah. Probably shouldn't.
Like I said, you notice again, it is lavish. Many, many decorations, statues, things of that nature. A few books laying about. But otherwise, you seem to sit there for several long minutes as Mr. Lau is in the back. You now hear like almost some hammering. He's sort of humming to himself.
Is Singh and the goons behind us?
No, Singh did not enter the office. You appear to be alone with Mr. Lau. Make me a spot hidden.
Yes, got it.
Pass. Seven.
Pass.
You all notice the fact that there are two goons standing just outside the office door. You can kind of hear them, you know, their feet are... You can sort of see the shadows underneath the doorway, you know, of feet.
Are we checking these two up?
Yes, later? Absolutely. Okay. You need to be checking all what skill marks critical? That are made.
Sorry?
20%.
Okay, if you beat it by 20%. Okay.
Yeah. If you roll 20% or less of your skill, it's critical.
Oh, okay, if you roll below. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Make sure you check the ones you succeed because you're going to upgrade those later.
Cool. What's in the pipe? I'm like looking at it. Is the pipe hot?
It is not. Okay. It appears to have been freshly cleaned and looks ready to smoke from.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but smoking ain't my thing.
I'm fiddling with my lighter. If they left it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Eh. What are you going to do?
How about you, brown ass?
Occasionally, have a smoke.
I am French, no.
This is known.
I like you, Louis. You get me.
I want to make I am French, no. The same way that I've made this is known a thing in...
Do it.
You hear the curtain fling back. And Mr. Lau approaches with a small wooden bowl. Looks like to be a handmade bowl. And there is some powdered residue in it.
Gentlemen, I have appreciated our friendship. But unfortunately, we cannot, even though I am in control of this area, we cannot have you scream too loud as we take payment. So I'm offering a bit of stuff to dull the nerves, as it were.
And you see him, he begins to take the powder and take it into the water pipe and make sure everything's fixed up. He starts heating a coal, however it works. I've only ever smoked hookah, but I imagine it is somewhat similar.
We'll go with it.
Problem.
Let's do a spot hidden.
Ideally, what we're looking at is a hookah water pipe.
Almost crit stun.
Man.
That is an 11 out of 75.
Nice.
I passed. Barely.
So we got a crit and two passes. Look at that. You guys are going to get out all of them now. You realize that The powder that he is applying to the water pipe is not, it's colored a little strangely. It is not opium. At least you don't think it's opium. Opium is, as described in the book, it's a gray or a white. This is more yellowy. Ugh. He gets it all together.
What this is that they're preparing for us?
This is something very special. It will be much, much better than anything you've had before. Again, we must have you numb when we collect payment. It is, the screaming is distracting to the neighbors.
Okay, all right, Mr. Lau, I get what you're doing here. All right, I get it. You say we're late. What do you mean, we're late?
Perhaps I should not have said late. I should have said too late. It is too late.
He turns back to Louis. He says,
this is called Baiwandin. It will make you feel good.
What, do you want money?
Again, need I repeat myself? Too late.
At this point, the coal is hot. He's got it set. It's starting to percolate.
He says, indulge yourselves.
I'm going to try to run again.
Okay. What is your dex?
It's 12.
Okay.
Not great.
You got a second character made.
Just make me a dex by 5 roll.
That's a fail.
Oh.
Okay. You see Louis get up, attempt to run for the door, sort of slip on the pillow. You know, sort of oof. And as soon as you hear that oof, the office door opens and the two toughs lean in. Both of the toughs are armed with 38 automatics. At which point you see Mr. Lau, who is wearing sort of a very traditional garb, a robe. You see the toughs point both guns at you. And you see Mr. Lau produce a 38 from his robes. He says, please, I insist.
Y'all sit back down.
He nods to the guys and they go back out. He sort of sits down about 5-10 feet away from you guys and just has the gun lazily pointed in your direction.
I'll pick up the pipe, whatever, and indulge.
Holy shit. Louis's like, oh my god. It is like nothing you've ever experienced before. You guys see, you know, opium is the strongest drug on Earth, basically. Like, it is horrible for you. But it's super addicting. You all see Louis's eyes immediately dilate, and he just sort of leans back with the pipe. He's almost completely gone limp. Like, he's basically catatonic from the first puff of it.
Jesus.
Please continue.
You want money? I'll get you money. I make a phone call.
He points the gun directly at you. Please. I must insist.
All right. Take a hit.
Okay.
I'll take it and... All right. See you on the other side. Take a hit.
So what you first notice is... Normally, you just get a euphoric feel, a sense of floating, right? It everything just becomes hazy. But what you all sort of just, you begin to feel a little wobbly and woozy, but your sight begins to be distorted. And it's not that you're seeing colors, but everything starts fading and twisting at the same time as colors stretch out and disappear. Slowly, everything is Looney Tunes style, just coming down to a central point, and it's fading to back. Everything is getting smaller and smaller. You feel as if you're falling down a well in slow motion. The very last glimpse that you see is you see Mr. Lau, who, after you all spoke, sort of approached the table towards you. You see Mr. Lau's face open up in a mock scream. You don't hear anything, but you see him sort of reach out his hand, sort of Fantastic Four-ish, reaching out into the void like he's trying to grab you before you fall. And he's, like I said, he seems to be in a full rage as everything you know goes dark.
And that's the game, folks.
Hey!
Thanks for listening.
You had choices. It's
been fun.
You feel completely giddy before everything you know goes to blackness. I will take con by 5 rolls. And then everybody just hold on to him.
I don't do math.
What's your number?
8.
8 times 5 is 40.
Hey, 31.
Okay, so we got 31 out of 40.
Fail.
A failure.
I failed.
How bad did you fail?
88 out of 65.
Okay, so you failed by 23. Yeah.
83 out of 75.
Okay.
So thank you. High con.
We'll go bing, bang, boom. Lucas, you wake up. I need you to roll me a d6, please.
5.
You wake up. There's brightness, but it's weird. Brightness comes from above, not below, kind of. Your head sort of throbbing. Other sensations come back first. You smell sweat. You smell urine. You smell excrement. A lot of it. You feel cold and wet and sticky all at the same time, and everything just feels wrong. You've got that feeling like when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're laying in bed with someone else, there's another person there. You've got that feeling, but it's magnified by like a million. It's like a million people are laying on you, with you, on top of you, inside you, beside you. And it just, you feel this intense pressure of all kinds of people around you. You open your eyes. Sand check.
Pass.
You open your eyes, finally. The brightness and the contrast of the bright and the dark finally start to coalesce in your eyes and become reality as things come back into focus. And you're staring into the face of a woman. She's completely nude. Her eyes are wide open, but the pupils are completely dilated. She appears to be breathing, maybe. Did you pass?
Yes.
One sand. As you realize that you're basically laying next to, on top of, beside, up and down's really hard at this point. What you would best describe as a nude comatose woman. And as you start to feel, look around, gauge your surroundings, she's one of many that you're laying in, around, on top of, and beside.
Interesting.
What would you like to do?
I mean, am I able to get up?
There are things holding you back, but you feel that you can move. There's resistance from these bodies, but you can make the move.
I sit up as well as I can and just gauge the room that I'm assuming I'm in.
You feel strange when you move things. You're leaning up and you're moving, and everything feels. Your perception is higher. You feel like things are just not where they're supposed to be. You're not what you're supposed to be, but you're able to sit up. You're gonna have to sort of push some bodies off of you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, you open your eyes onto a. Well, let's make one more sand check.
Pass.
We'll just take one. You open your eyes onto a brightly. It's bright day. It's high noon, which is only slightly strange because the sun appears to be blood red.
Am I outside?
You are outside. You also feel hair on the back of your neck.
I feel hair on the back of my neck.
Yes. You feel like. Have you ever had, I mean, usually women, but men too, like when someone who has long hair and you're not used to having long hair lay next to you, you get that feeling of just hair on your neck.
Right. So I reach back.
Okay.
Kind of feel it.
Yeah. You feel long hair. It's itchy right. On the back of your neck. It's uncomfortable. It's unusual.
Probably scratching it.
Yeah, it is.
It's attached to my head.
It is, in fact, attached to your head. You now have long hair.
I look down at my body.
You look down at your nude form. What ethnicity was Harmon?
He's white.
Make me sand check.
Fail.
We'll take 3 for that.
Off of which one?
Roll me a d6. Off that. Roll me a d6, Troy.
Uno.
Uno. Most excellent. You wake up.
Uh-huh.
We'll take an initial sand check because you're in a pile of bodies.
Okay. It's a pass.
Okay, you lose one. You also are similarly in this sort of orgy of comatose bodies that seem to be quite deep.
I'll very frantically try to scurry up.
Okay. It's hard. It's not easy. You can do it, but everything feels... bones creak, and you just can't... Things just aren't working the way they should. So you reach up to grab a hold of a body and move it. Roll me sand, please.
That's a fail.
Thank you. 3. The hand that you reach up with is... You said you were French, right?
Mm-hmm.
The hand that you reach out with is old, wrinkled, and... the deep black of someone from Africa. But you're able to pull yourself out. Hey, Flynn, you want to roll D6?
Not really.
Are you having fun playing this game yet?
Yes, I will. 1.
You can't roll 1. Somebody already rolled 1.
1.
Roll a different die.
5.
I rolled a 5.
He rolled a 5.
Son of a...
Just pick a number.
Nope, I'm doing this... 4.
4.
Doing this the right way.
Fan... Fucking-tastic. Roll me sand. I won't take the time to describe all the bodies. But
I passed.
Okay, you lose 1.
By the way, I could be both French and black.
True.
You didn't ask that.
That's fair. But I assume if you were born in Marseille, it is more likely than not that you are Caucasian.
True.
You could be swarthy. You could be Mediterranean descent, but I'm going to assume probably Caucasian. Flynn, I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. You start moving the bodies, like maybe the one that's right off the top of your chest. You have enormous breasts.
Nice.
Your size didn't change very much, but you appear to be a, at least from what you can tell from looking down anyway, a fairly attractive nude Indian woman. So to the audience at home, they have now all been passed new character sheets. We will now, as you all sit up, sort of in a row. You sort of look around this massive pile of bodies, by the way. We're talking hundreds of it's not fair to call them corpses because they appear to still be breathing, but hundreds of nude forms, that at least the ones at the backs you can see have some bizarre, like, 2 pinpricks right at the base of their spine, like above the coccyx, but right where the spine is kind of starts. One on each side of the spinal column. As you sort of sit up from the bodies, you look around yourselves under the blood red sun that is high at noon. And we see an African man in his probably 40s with tattoos all over his body. We see a young Mediterranean man with long dark hair, olive skin, and you all see an absolutely stunning Indian woman with a gorgeous gilded dragonfly tattoo that comes like across her cheek and down her neck and onto her shoulder. And as you all look at each other, who you don't know, you hear singing in the distance. From a mechanical perspective, what I now need you to do is you will notice that character sheets that I've handed you are only half filled out. Mm-hmm. Please put your name, your character's name, and your player's name in the correct spot. Please copy the stats from one character sheet to another. Your magic points, your sand, your ability to navigate or spot hidden now all apply to this new body that you find yourself inhabiting. And I can take your character sheets for you so you don't get confused if you like.
My backstory.
Still important.
I'm in a different body.
Correct.
So I would no longer have a French accent.
Nope, not if you don't want it. So, what would you like to do? You all are completely nude, by the way, and in some way, shape, or form, whether it's yours or someone else's, covered in urine and excrement.
What is around us? Like, what is the landscape?
Okay, so you're going to take a look?
Yeah.
You appear to be in what would be best described as a courtyard, all laid out in stone, old stone, stone with, moss growing up through it and grass, and it's cracked and crumbled. Large stones, 12, 14 inches in diameter, or in length, I should say. And all the buildings around you appear to be old. Old architecture. And as you look, you would describe them perhaps better as ruins. They seem to be... an apocalyptic view of an ancient, at least what you can tell. You can't see very high because even the ruins themselves are still several stories high, but you're seeing buildings that have been sheared in half and stone has crumbled on the ground. But even where the stone is crumbled on the ground, there's moss and stuff growing on top of it. Whatever happened here happened a long time ago. Louis is from France, so he's probably been in and around castles and stuff before. Like, when you see an old castle and you see, you know, the old architecture, you get that same feel from where you're at now.
Again, born in, not necessarily.
Born in, been in around, but you've been in Europe. It's the type of aged architecture you don't see in the Americas. Where a stone has fallen off the side of a castle and they decided not to do anything about it and the grass just grew up around it. That's what you're seeing. And you're seeing some motion. You see two other individuals staring at you, also nude, looking terrified.
Do I sense any source of any water source anywhere? A lake, river, waterfall, fountain?
Roll listen.
I got good listens. Where's it at? Where'd it go?
Pass. You hear the ocean. Just sort of the soft crashing of waves. It's distant. It's not right nearby, but you're definitely in a port city, in a seaside area.
But I can't see it?
No, not from where you're at. You're sort of surrounded by buildings in this area. Like, you're in the courtyard of a, what am I going to say? Like, you know, the buildings sort of just come together and there's kind of just an open spot. That's where you are, on top of these piles of bodies that uncomfortably surge every once in a while underneath you as they breathe. And you hear atonal singing.
I'm going to run towards the water. What direction I hear the water.
Okay, so you'll see the African man with rectilinear tattoos jump down from the pile of bodies. Would either of you like to do anything?
I'm going to yell out at this African man.
What do you yell to the African man?
What does my voice sound like?
Well,
you're from India, so.
What? Just tell me what you're going to say.
Say, wait, who are you?
So, Louis, you hear a soft female voice cry out, wait, who are you? It has a slight bit of an Indian accent if it so chooses.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. It is a soft woman's voice calling out.
I'm keep running.
Okay.
I'm going to run off after the African gentleman.
Okay, so you begin to chase. You now see the busty Indian woman with the neck tattoo.
I'm going to be like holding like modestly.
Roll sand.
Oh, but, Jesus. Yes, I shouldn't have been
it's
modest.
It's an illusion.
No.
Sure
didn't.
One. You jump down and begin to run, and like I said, you are quite a busty lady, and it kind of freaks you out because there's some momentum as your upper chest swings back and forth, and you're like, do I cover? But these aren't mine, and you're sort of having a identity crisis.
What's the rule again with temp sense?
You're enjoying it, but should you enjoy it?
I know you're oddly attracted to yourself that's not yourself, so you also feel like you're violating someone.
Huh.
Yeah, think about that for a minute. You're just sort of standing in the street nude now, trying to figure out if you're a terrible man or not. If you're a man in
the
first place.
Well, I know that.
What was the rule again with Temp Sans? I always get it wrong.
You have to have 5 in one go or 1/5, 20% of your total in a single in-game hour.
So 5 in one roll?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'd taken 5.
No, you're good.
So, and what did you say, 10%?
20%.
So, we hear water, we don't see water?
I just want to know what you're doing as you see everyone sort of run off.
I will saunter, but not run. I will follow.
So you're going to chase after them as well? Naked as a jaybird.
At a medium pace.
Nice.
Does my knee feel better?
Yeah.
I'm very surprised at this.
You roll sand.
Pass.
Cool.
26 out of 50.
Not a problem. Feels great.
26 out of 45.
Troy. Not as easy as it normally felt. Like you're getting winded a little bit. You're older, which is weird.
Like a decade.
10 years is a lot, man.
still in my 40s.
Roll me sand.
Fail.
You lose one. As you go running down towards the sound of the water, you're sort of splashing through puddles of stuff you don't really want to think about that have sort of pooled between the groups of bodies. You're running, and as you sort of, not necessarily round the corner, although the bodies are definitely heaped up enough that it could be a corner, per se, you nearly barrel over an individual who's standing there. And the sand roll is for what you see him doing. The individual is squat, hunchback, seems to have a bit of a limp. He seems to be singing in a language you don't immediately recognize. It sounds horrible, whatever he's singing. But he's got a body pulled out, and he's lifted the legs up, and you see him, just as you round the corner, take a knife, a real small one, kind of like a melon baller or something, and he grabs a hold of the guy's scrotum and just pops out a testicle, and he puts it in a bag. And as he turns and looks at you, you realize he's a fat man. His yellow teeth, gnarled, base Asiatic looking. He looks like an Asian man. He's got a something, you'd almost call it a brand, burned right into the center of his forehead of a logo you don't recognize. But as you round the corner, he sort of just screams and kind of like backs up, but he's not really able to get out of your way. Roll dex by 5.
Fail.
You apparently collide right into him, and you both go down in a heap.
I'm as quick as I can. I'm going to scurry up and run away. Definitely run away from this guy. He's cutting people's nuts off.
He starts crying out. Do you look back?
No.
Okay. What would the rest of you like to do?
I was following him.
Okay. You round the corner. He's already got the nut, so you don't have to make the sand roll.
Yay!
Screw it. Make me a spot hidden.
That's bullshit.
Do you notice
the sack?
Of course I make this roll.
You notice the half sackless guy and him holding a bloody instrument. So you can make a sand roll for that.
Yeah. Made it.
Okay. No loss. You don't have nuts anymore. That's disconcerting.
Another sand roll.
What do you, now you're learning how to play. What would you like to do, Flynn? The African man is still seeming to run into the, into a maze of highways and byways. And you see this man, hey, and he sort of starts speaking something at you.
Jesus Christ. So if I am Lou in
Correct.
This other body, then this Indian woman's going to round the corner and say, Jesus Christ, what the fuck?
Yep.
So that, yeah.
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 So just say that in a soft female voice.
I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can edit that in properly.
No.
I can't manipulate that. It's going to take forever.
Every time Flynn speaks, highlight it and bump it up 4 decibels. Jesus Christ, what the fuck?
And around the corner and, hold on. What the fuck are you doing?
English. You speak English.
Yeah.
Hold on. You hear this conversation, by the way. You're not far off. So if you do want to turn around, you can. If not, you can keep running.
I'm running.
All right. We'll get back to that. You just see him sort of, oh no. And he's like panicking. He's in a full on panic attack. Sir?
I imagine I round the corner.
Sure. You round the corner. You see a very attractive nude Indian woman, also covered in bodily fluids and junk, standing there confronting a fat Asian man who, spot hidden?
16 out of 75.
Is holding a testicle. Sand check.
He said he put it in his pocket.
All right. He's still holding a bloody knife and half a sack in his hand.
He's got a bulge in his pocket that looks like a nut.
And it's
got
not
a testicle
where
in your pocket, or is that just me?
And it's not where nuts belong.
Fail.
Okay. Just one.
I stop. I can tell they're speaking English, right?
Oh, yeah. No, you hear them speaking English.
So I stop, and I'm like, what the fuck's going on?
Oh no. There are three. Oh no. What? My masters will not be pleased.
Listen, calm down. What? Where are we?
You're alive. You're alive, but you shouldn't be alive. Why are you alive? Did you come out of the body? Oh, no. Oh,
can I slap him to make him come to his senses?
Sure.
Just a quick slap.
Yeah, go ahead and slap him.
I need a roll for that?
Nah.
Right, so I slap him to calm him.
I just need to know if you're trying to do damage.
I'm not trying to do damage. I'm trying to slap him to stop him and calm him down.
Okay. Pow.
Oh. Speak slowly. What the fuck is going on?
I do not know. The bodies, they don't get up. They don't talk. That's not the way things are supposed to be. I don't understand. Who? Oh no. My masters will be very displeased. Very displeased. Very displeased.
Where do the bodies come from?
They come from the moon.
What?
They come from the man in
no,
the moon.
No, don't fuck with me. Where do the bodies come from?
From
Who
the
brings
moon.
Them here?
The moon beasts.
I look over. What is... What does Lucas now look like?
Mediterranean with long hair. What's your app?
Okay.
My app? 12.
Slightly better than average looking.
I don't remember what my old app was.
We're not even going to talk about it if we're getting incidental boners here, but, you know. I'm just not going to touch that.
I think I'm a little too grossed out at this point.
That's fair.
The poop doesn't help.
No. Well, I mean, you know, different strokes for different folks. Am I right?
No.
No.
Troy, still full on sprint?
Yeah.
Do you have a navigate roll?
I do.
Roll me a navigate.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
It's all zeros.
It's all zeros.
Somebody just got lost in the maze.
Maybe you'll end up back where we are.
I don't want to deal with that. Well, you start running and you're like, the ocean is clearly this way. And then, but the buildings don't let you go that way. So you're like, well, I'll go a block up and then a block over. But there's a building that fell in front of that. So if I climb over the building and then around this way and you're going. Let me play with that double zero, but we'll play with that. Mm-hmm. Let me get back to that. Let's go back to the
You're
conversation.
You're now in Carcosa, Kratz.
I'm gonna turn to, I guess the hammer himself.
We don't know each other's names. Who are you?
My name's Lou?
Lou?
Lou? Yeah, I'm Lou.
I'm used to be the hammer.
Harmon the Hammer? Wait.
Roll
We're not going to do another autograph session.
I don't have any paper on me.
I can write it in the crap on your back.
Please do. I passed.
Nope.
Ooh. That was unfortunate, Lucas. Okay.
How many do I lose?
Just one.
It's very unfortunate because that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 so far.
Wait. So if you're the hammer...
Then you're Lou...
Do we still see our black friend?
No.
Oh, fuck. No. Louis ran again.
I look at the guy. You said you saw another guy?
Yes. There are three of you. There are three of you running out of the bodies.
You think I was Louis?
My masters will not be pleased.
Look, where can we clean up? Clothes? Anything?
Oh. He sort of points to the piles like there may be still some. And as you look around, you're starting to see there's more than just nude bodies. Like... There's some scraps of clothing here and there. You see a belt. You see nice shoes, nice leather shoes that look to be only like maybe 2 weeks old.
Is there enough cloth that I'd be able to fashion like a loincloth out of something? Like
luck roll.
Shirt or something?
Luck roll.
Luck roll. I think I got a pretty decent luck. Nope.
Nothing for you.
I'm going to belt down my boobies.
All right. You belt down your boobies. Make me a sand check.
Yes.
Okay. No sand law.
I am very used to these boobies already.
Well, you're getting there.
Lou, you look different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to turn back to the little dude.
Mm-hmm.
So, your master, what are you talking about? Who's your master?
My masters. My masters are the men from Lang.
Lang?
The men from Lang.
Is Lang here or on the moon?
This is the ancient city of Sarkomond.
We have any idea what that is by history?
You want to roll history? You can roll history.
Well, I studied history in college, so.
I did not. Yeah. No.
Fail.
Do either of you have any points in occult?
No.
No, I didn't think you could.
In a cult?
Cults? No.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that's Cthulhu Mythos.
You can Cthulhu Mythos.
No, I didn't put any. I don't think I did. Might check my little sheet, make sure I didn't miss it.
I wouldn't know why either of you would.
No, but... I shouldn't.
No, you've never heard of Sarcomond.
What about Lang? Same roll, new roll.
There's a geography roll, isn't there?
No.
Geology.
History.
Yeah, you could say history. I'll let you roll history again.
Nope.
Yes.
Nice.
Lang is supposedly a place in China.
Okay, so, all right, so we're in China.
He just looks at you and laughs.
I look at her.
We are in Lang.
And Lang is in...
I know not of this China. He pronounces it with two syllables. In the wrong spot.
Wait, what year is it?
1925.
Hey, anyone. Wizard of Oz wasn't out yet.
Troy. Louis, after running some time through the... after running some time through the shadows of the orange sun cast off the buildings, you find yourself in another opening that's significantly larger than where you were before. This looks more almost like an Indian temple, maybe. You kind of go up, I don't know necessarily if I want to use the phrase ziggurat or not, but like you kind of go up the steps. And it's a sort of semicircular, almost horseshoe structure with beautiful, intricate lines and stonework. But as you step into this place, it's kind of like an inner plaza or courtyard. And it sounds weird. Roll me a listen check.
Pass.
You hear the... must have rained recently wherever you're at, but you can hear... It's almost like, have you ever stood out, like, I'm thinking like a quad space at a university, right? But it's more in tight, like an interior quad. And so you've kind of got like apartment buildings or something. You've got all these openings of windows that kind of overlook. And some of these spaces are filled. Some of them are open, but you kind of, when the wind blows, it whistles through the buildings and through the openings and you can hear water drip and everything just sort of sounds echoey and distant. It's a little unnerving as you step into it, but for the first time since you've been running, you notice a structure that does not appear to be old, does not appear to be ancient. Let's put it that way. You see sort of almost a makeshift shack out of like animal hide or skins, and there appears to be like they connected a couple of fallen points together to create like an overhang to keep the area out of the weather, mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And the courtyard area is, there seem to be things in and around that space. You can see statues and some other things in this little hovel-like area.
With that listen roll, can I still pick up whether or not I hear like the ocean noise?
You now realize that because of the winding path you've taken, you now feel like you're farther from the ocean than you were before.
Awesome.
But this is clearly signs of habitation.
Mm-hmm. What am I running on? Is it sand? Is it grass? Is it some sort of stone?
It is sidewalk, but it's not, you know, the sidewalk that we know of today. It's more like cobbled pavers. They're not always smooth. They're kind of broken up. You are running in bare feet, so that's unpleasant in some places. But the cobbled ground and, for the most part, it is smooth stone. Massive pavers. That's sort of what you're running. This whole city seems to be, since you've seen large portions of it, you haven't ever like climbed up to look, but it all seems to be made of this singular type of stone. Kind of like if you go to, you're in the mall in Washington, D.C., right? Everything has that same white, clean, columned look. You know what I mean? All these buildings look to be very, very similar in architectural style and composition.
Is there any like... loose stone that I can, like small pieces of loose stone I can pick up?
Absolutely.
So I'm going to do an about face essentially and start walking back from the way I came. But I'm going to make a pile of like stones in a way that like a marker essentially.
Okay, make me a navigate. Well, I'll give you a plus 20%.
Wow. Failed.
Okay.
They fall over.
88 twice on both my navigate rolls. Still failed.
No.
Nice. Roll.
Oh, the first one was 100, I guess.
Yeah, the first one was 100. Make me a luck roll.
Pass.
Okay, back to you guys, talking to the Asian man. He's got a hump over his left shoulder.
Which way did the other man go?
I have no idea. He ran that way, but that way is a maze. I never go that way.
All right, what's the other way?
Oh, the one way leads closer to Sarkomand. He points to another direction. That leads to the port.
The port, water.
I would not go to the port if I were you.
Why?
That's where the galleys are.
I need to clean the shit off of me.
Oh, you want water?
I asked you about that like 5 minutes ago.
You asked about bodies of water. There's water all over the place. And he like points into a building and you can see there's like collected rainwater that smells musty and gross.
That'll work.
You can clean yourself off.
So it's like within, it's not far.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, I will start splashing water on myself and cleaning the crap off of me.
I mean, it's no more gross than anything else around here, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's not urine.
I'm
going to
do the same.
After I'm clean, I'm going to walk back up to him and say, give me your shirt.
You don't want my shirt.
I look down at my naked body. I go, I want your shirt.
Are you intimidating him?
Yeah.
Please intimidate him.
Where's intimidate then?
It's not intimidate. It is...
Is it
I would
persuade or fast talk or...
Yeah, I would use a persuade or fast talk, whichever one you want.
Pass. On both counts.
Okay. He will give you quite literally the shirt off of his back.
Is he wearing an undershirt?
He is not. It is greasy and kind of disgusting. And probably too big for you. What's your size?
I am a size 14.
Oh, no, it fits relatively well. He's a big flabby dude. You're just a thick dude.
I'm not putting that on as a shirt. I'm literally like wrapping it around my undercarriage and covering myself.
Okay.
If there's enough shirt there, I'll tear it in half and give part of it to the now female Lou to cover herself up.
Okay. Sure. You guys can fashion two generic loincloths out of his shirt.
That's what we do.
As you rip it, he just kind of goes, that was my shirt.
What are you doing with the knife, friend?
Oh, this for collecting good meaty parts, see? And he bends down and like slits
No.
He takes a fingernail off of one of the people, and you see him. He's got a bag that flies are kind of buzzing around and looks really gross, and he drops the fingernail in.
I want to grab his wrist and take the knife from him.
It's not really much of a knife. It's more of a melon baller, but yes.
I don't care.
You can take it from him. Well, not a knife, but think of more like a palette knife. It's sharp enough to do some stuff. Okay, you can take it from him. I must collect these things. This is my job. This is why I am the collector. I collect things.
Where do you bring these things?
To my masters.
In Lang?
No, we are in Lang.
Where are your masters?
My masters are here in Sarkomand.
Who's on first?
Jesus.
All right.
Lucas is learning terminology. At this point, the African man somehow has now found himself right back in a pile of bodies.
How do you spell Sarkomand?
Sarkomand. Sarkomand.
Do I see them or am I back at the original spot?
You see a pile of bodies, but you do hear voices speaking English.
I will slowly walk towards them.
Yeah. I mean you can approach them. I won't assume you're stealthing unless you attempt to stealth.
No.
Okay.
Hey Louie.
Who are you?
Roll sand, Troy.
Because you just called me Louie.
Yep.
Pass.
Cool.
It's us.
That seems weird, but you accept it.
It's Lou and Harmon. Yeah, I don't understand it either.
You see the fat, sweaty rolls of the Asian man standing there.
Did you guys steal this guy's shirt?
I did indeed. We both look at each other like, no, wait, yes, no.
how did you get clean?
Oh, there's a bucket of water over there. Rainwater.
It's not a bucket of water. Well, I mean, like
a barrel of rainwater.
No, there's like some standing water in between some cracks in the buildings where the
water. Oh, I thought you said it was like collected. Like
it's collected just because it's a low spot. Like you're like literally using a muddy puddle to clean yourself off.
Yeah, I'm gonna point it out. Clean myself.
Sort of looks at you furtively, the three of you.
So where are your masters? Where are they now?
Most of them probably in the middle of Sarkomand.
You
see him sort of nervously glance at the sky. No, there's still time. There's still time.
Time for?
You don't want to be in Sarkomond at night.
So we don't want to be in Sarkomond at night, and we don't want to be in the ports because there are galleys?
The black galleys, yes.
What time of day is it?
It's getting on in the day. Afternoon.
Okay.
Did you find any place we could shelter somewhere while you were running?
Yeah, I found some kind of temple or something. It looked not so ruiny as the rest of this place.
I look at the other guy.
Get out of my home! What do you do in my home? Did you mess with my things?
I didn't go inside. Calm down.
Did it look like upset. A nice place?
Look nicer than anything I've seen, I guess.
I mean, it's nothing. It's just a place where I live. It is nothing special.
You wouldn't leave three strangers out in Sarkomond at night, right?
The look he gives you is that he absolutely would if given the choice. But he
so
also
we're not going to give him the choice, right?
Sure. I did. You guys' call.
Tell you what. You let us shelter for the night, and I give you your damn knife back.
Roll Persuade.
Persuade is a 60. That is a 91 out of 60.
You show him the knife, and he, like, grabs at it and trying to take it back.
I jerk it backwards.
Fine. Where you want to go? What do you want to do? Get out of the corrector's hair. I need to correct things.
For your masters.
Yes.
What are you correcting?
He's like, I take things from the unused bodies. And he points to the...
Guy takes things off of dead bodies and brings them to his master.
Oh, he collects things.
Yes.
Got it.
You see him pull down and he grabs a leather belt and starts bundling it up and tossing it in the bag with the testicle and the finger and God knows what else. The corner of that bag is like really soaked with blood.
Do you have any other clothing, footwear?
He sort of points to the bodies. He's like, most things I take from these people.
Good luck.
You can make me a luck roll.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Pa-fail.
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 I'm going to go ahead and rifle through the bodies to have done my...
It's unpleasant.
Ooh.
I don't know if you can crit on luck. Good. But I did.
I mean, sure.
You actually find a perfectly fit garment that fits your bust and everything. Like you're now wearing
Louis the torn cloth I gave you earlier.
Torn cloth. Sell it with my eyes.
Yeah, I'm not taking it because you said it was all sweaty and greasy, so I'm gonna not take that.
It's fair.
Yeah, but you would know.
Well, he would see it.
I would see it.
Fair.
It's covered in God knows what. The clothes aren't too bad, Flynn. Like Lou can wear them.
Okay.
They fit really well. Kind of still covered in pee and poop, but they fit really well.
You wash it off in the mud puddle?
I'm going to mud puddle it just a little bit.
Now they're muddy, but less pee and poopy.
I prefer this.
It's fair. The collector just looks at you all furtively and keeps looking at the sky.
We're going to go to your house.
Fine. And he just starts walking off. You hear him muttering something in a language you don't really understand.
I toss him the knife and throw it like on the ground. I don't actually hand it to him. He can pick it up himself.
He scatters over, picks it up. And you see him reach over and take another finger and toss it in the bag.
I'm going to whisper to Louis, do you remember how you got there?
With the roll of 88, probably not. But he does remember he made little piles.
Yeah. At least you know what direction you went.
I don't, necessarily.
Well,
I failed both navigate rolls.
You came from a direction. You came from a direction. I mean, couldn't logic at least say turn around and go that same direction you came from?
But I mean, it's the guy's house, so... We're following him, probably, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, as far as you know, he's walking back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, if he starts to go anywhere else, just
as best,
let us know.
Sure.
You see he walks along and you see a little rock pile that you made. He turns and looks at you accusingly. You do this?
Yeah, I had to mark my way somewhere.
He kicks the rocks over. Stupid. And he turns and keeps walking. He comes up to the next pile, kicks it over, just scatters the rocks. You see him pick up a couple of them, takes one that looks nice, puts it in the pack, and takes the others and throws them. He keeps walking. Get to the next pile, and there's a small statue head on top of it, and he picks it up and puts it in the bag and knocks the other rocks over. Just keeps walking. And you make it to the little plaza with the little hovel, with his little shack.
Our title track, Dreams, provided by Sleep for the Weary off their debut album, Nocturnes. Find that album and much more at sleepfortheweary.com. Want to support the podcast? Find exclusive content at patreon.com/rancors_brothel. Don't forget to join the conversation on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at rancors_brothel. All this and more can be found at rancorsbrothel.com. Much love, listeners. Keep circulating the tapes.